Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Shelby Wolford. Shelby's credits include the series Betch, and she is best known for playing Maddie 2 for all 4 seasons of Livin' Maddie. Shelby stars in the upcoming movie Swiped about a dating app with unintended consequences. Shelby, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy you're here. And we were just, we were talking just before we started recording about the poetry of today, because we didn't plan this. Yeah. But it just so happens that we're recording this podcast on the last day of the last episode of Livin' Maddie.
Yeah, the end of the series.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah, it's impossible to, like, live through this day without feeling so emotional about it. Also, every time I go on social media, I'm so overwhelmed by how many people are posting about it and just expressing their love for the show. I mean, not only the fans, but also the entire cast and crew. It was such an amazing experience.
It was huge. And I think when I think about that show, I think about the heart that's in it. I mean, to me, the overwhelming essence of that show is its heart. And I think that has a lot to do not only with the writing, but with the relationships between everybody in the cast and crew, the entire team.
Oh, the synergy was incredible.
Incredible. And you feel it. It translates.
Yeah. Every piece that went into making Believe on that show just fit perfectly.
It really did. And I was thinking about when we first met, and you were 19.
Yep.
And you just moved here?
Oh, I'd moved here about a year ago, a year before that.
Okay, so we'll circle back to that because I want to hear about that story. But you were like such a baby.
I know.
And you came in for the role.
Yeah, well, originally, so the breakdown was for a photo double, not an acting double, which is what the job ended up being. And it just basically included a photo of Dove, and it said that I needed to be 5'2" and have blonde hair and be pale. And I was like, cool. I fit all of those things.
By the way, you can't go to the beach for 4 years.
Oh, yes. By the way, no tanning. That's not a problem. I'm not, I wasn't really tanned to begin with, I guess. But yeah, so I went in for it, got the script. It was sides for 2 different girls, and they asked me to have both memorized and both learned. It wasn't Liv and Maddie yet. I don't think they had decided on that. And so I went in and I read with the casting director, Suzanne, and it was so fun. And I mean, it went well, obviously. At the end, she marked my height on the wall, and, then I got a call. Do you know basketball? And I was like, yeah, I know basketball. That's a lie. And, so then I got a chemistry read with Dove, which is where I met you actually. Yep. And I still remember that day so vividly. Dove came in with a little bow in her hair and stuff. But what I remember really vividly is doing the scenes with her and how, I mean, I did them with Suzanne and they felt amazing, but doing them with Dove was so fun because she's so talented, and actually every day on that show was an acting lesson with that girl. I'm serious. She is crazy talented. But when we did the scenes, it clicked. And then they had us do this weird thing where we were, you know, standing nose to nose, toes to toes, back to back, hugging, standing, you know, holding hands, high-fiving. It was ridiculous and so awkward, but the whole time, like, I was just making silly faces at her, and we were cracking up, you know, like, what else do you do in that situation? But, yeah. And then she chose me.
Yay.
Me and Emmy. And I'm so glad that it was the 3 of us because we're so close.
Oh, the 3 of you. I mean, I just, you're my 3 little kittens. such a special.
Yeah.
There's no words for it.
I can't imagine doing the show with any other 2 actresses.
No.
No, they were amazing.
You had to work so closely together. I mean, it's a very unusual situation. It's not a normal fellow actors situation at all. I mean, you had to, when you weren't on set, you had to be, well, you were on set, when you weren't like on camera, actually, you had to be watching Dove like a hawk to see what she was doing so you could perfectly imitate it.
Yeah, like when does she cross her arms? When does she put her hands on her hips?
Yeah.
You know, what's cool about that process, though, is at the very beginning, Dove and Emmy and I sat down to talk about the characters, which I think is amazing. Like, What actress sits down with her doubles to talk to them about the characters? What a kind human being. Well,
there aren't typically
being.
A lot of doubles anyway. There's stunt doubles. Yeah, but acting doubles? You guys are different.
But she really wanted us all to be on the same page. And, you know, we chose, if you watch the show carefully, you'll see this, but we chose, like, certain positions that Liv would be in. Like, Liv holds her hands up by her chest like this, and Maddie always is slumping and has her arms crossed or on her hips and stuff, and that was really helpful to, like, know these are our go-tos, like, where their comfort zone sort of lives. Yeah.
Let's talk about basketball for a second.
Okay. I, to this day, feel bad for lying to Suzanne about that. I mean, my brother played basketball when he was little, and I went to his games, and I would, like, go to his practices and learn about it, and of course I learned about it in PE and school and stuff, but I am not the most athletically inclined person. So when they were like, oh, you could do basketball, cool, we're going to do a basketball assessment. It's going to be on tape, and the producers and the casting director are going to be there, and also Dove's going to be there. And I was like, cool. So actually I was living with this sweet family at the time, and so I went to the dad, and I was like, Mike, help me, I don't know basketball, I lied. And he was like, okay, let's go out to the basketball court and we'll learn. It was so sweet, so sweet. He spent hours with me teaching me basketball. And I got there and I was just as good as Dove.
And she's actually not terrible.
She's not, that's the thing. Neither of us were that bad. I was so sore the next day, but like, oh, so worth it.
So the reason I bring this up is because I think there's something kind of interesting about this. You know, you're an actor. There was a breakdown. You went in for it, and you were perfect. And then when this question came up, like, oh, can you do this thing? You're like, yes, I can do this thing. and there's something about that, because people you could frame this a bunch of different ways. You could frame it like, oh, fake it till you make it. Okay, yeah, maybe a little bit. But people disqualify themselves a lot of the time. They say, well, actually, I can't shoot. Well, then I guess I can't do this. And then they never know.
Yeah.
But you went for it. And I think there's something about, like, going for it. And the funny thing is, at the beginning of the show, when they were still casting it, they thought, because they had this idea that Maddie was this basketball player, there'd be a lot of scenes of basketball being played. Well, it didn't take them very long to figure out that just didn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it really didn't.
But they thought that you needed to have those skills. Yeah. And you went for it. And I love that, because I think a lot of the times human beings, they don't go for it. They look at something and they say, well, I can't do that, so I'm not going to apply for that job.
Yeah, or well, I can't, there's that saying, you miss 100% of the chances you don't take, right?
Yeah.
I mean, either I'm going to make a fool of myself and not get this part, or I'm going to actually learn it and I'm going to get this part.
Yeah. Well, and the other interesting thing for actors on this is, I talk to people about this all the time, you want to be really truthful mm-hmm. when you're writing down your special skills.
Yeah,
you
know, basketball was not on my special skills.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been.
No, not at all.
And it would never have been on Dove's either. But you guys were, like, adequately competent.
Well, whoever our coach was, his name is slipping my mind, but
he was great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We had fun at our basketball lessons while we had them.
Yeah, there was a whole, like, couple of weeks of basketball lessons.
Yeah, nobody knows about. Fun.
It was fun. So you know, not to digress too much here, but I think it's important that people, you know, if there's something that's like, well, maybe I can do this, like, go for it, try it, see what happens.
Oh, absolutely.
You did that, and it changed your life.
And also, I mean, basketball wasn't in my wheelhouse, but it's important as an actor to have other skills than just acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, and besides singing and dancing even, like, being a triple threat is important. But also, if you're amazing at the hula hoop, who knows what doors that could open for you,
but
you know?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Put it on your special skills list.
Exactly.
Well, so when did you know you wanted to be an actor, Shelby?
So I've been trying to think about this, but I don't think there was a precise moment. I have loved reading my entire life. Like, I was a voracious reader from the moment I could read. Like, to the point that, like, with a flashlight at night reading a book, to the point where, like, at dinner table my mom would have to be like, Shelby, put your book away, you know? So I'm in love with storytelling. And so I don't think there was a precise moment. I would always feel such empathy for the characters and imagine myself in the stories and in these worlds. And so I think that's how it started for me. I think that's how I fell in love with it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Was there somebody who inspired you in particular?
Yeah. Actually, going back to the storytelling thing, this woman, Jolinda Crocker, from my hometown of Placerville, California, I met her at the county fair, and she was this beautiful fairy-like woman, and she had this energy about her, and I went up to her booth, and she was like, I do choir lessons for kids and voice lessons, and she was started telling stories, and I was absolutely just enamored by her because I was so shy at that point in my life. Aww. And by the end of meeting her, I was like, Mom, I want to do voice lessons.
How old were you?
I was 11 at this Aww. Point and so shy. But my mom was like, oh, why do you want to do voice lessons? And I was like, because I want to do musical theater, which I had never vocalized to her. It shocked her, but it was something that I had known for a long time. And now I had this woman who was amazing and offering me this opportunity. How could I pass that up? She's an amazing woman.
So working with her inspired you.
She was my vocal teacher from the time I was 11 to when I was 18 and I left Placerville and I came here.
That's huge. And I love that answer because, you know, so often people will, you know, think of some famous actor who inspired them, which is like there's absolutely nothing wrong with
that. Oh, I'm inspired by so many people. I mean, right? Actors, artists, in general, musicians. I think it's hard to walk around life and not be inspired by a bunch of people.
If you're paying attention. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I could be inspired by a tree.
Yeah, no, I love that about you. Me too. But to notice that you can be deeply, genuinely inspired by somebody who's right there where you are, like in your community, is huge.
Oh, she was instrumental in not only my career, but me becoming the person I am today. I'm so grateful for her.
I love that. How did you get started? So you confessed to your mom at 11 that you had this desire to do musical theater.
Yeah, I did. So I confessed it to her. I started doing voice lessons, and I guess I really had a knack for it. So I did voice lessons for a minute, and then they were having auditions for Peter Pan at the community theater, and I was like, I'm going to audition. Oh, I was so nervous. I sang a song from South Pacific. Cockeyed Optimist, of course. I was cast as one of the Lost Boys, and that experience was so fun for me. I felt alive and at home, I think is really important to say, because that's definitely how it felt, and it was so fun. And then from there, I don't think I was not in a play, either in school or in community theater, etc., for the rest of, until I left to come here.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that feeling of feeling like you're home, that's huge. Yeah. I think you really articulated something that's true for a lot of actors.
It does, right? I don't know, the stage where we shot Liv and Maddie felt more like home to me a lot of the time than my apartment did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Duff said that a lot, too.
Yeah.
It feels like home.
It totally does.
Yeah.
I know.
And so much of that's the people, really.
Oh, they're wonderful.
So what was your school experience like?
My school experience was good. It was generally positive. I was always busy, you know, like leave for school at 7 in the morning, then go straight from school to rehearsal, and then straight from rehearsal to another rehearsal, and then home, usually most nights, to eat dinner, do my homework, and go to bed. It was busy. The last couple years of high school were really hard for me. Just, you know, general drama. I tried to quit high school.
Yeah,
my
really.
Assistant principal did not let me. Thank you, Mrs. Kaldansky. I owe you so much. I ended up sobbing in her office one day because of, you know, school drama, which is just not important. And I wouldn't trade that experience for anything, though, because I know that it was really instrumental in my choice to not go to college and to move to LA instead. And also, I feel like I have more of an understanding of people who have been through tough situations like that, and I can probably help people more now that I have that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Smooth sailing doesn't equip you for life as easily as some rough seas.
So true. It's so true.
So that's the gift. That's the hidden gift.
Yeah.
Well, so how important has training been for you?
Oh my gosh, training has been so important. Yeah. I mean, I've always been in voice lessons. I've always been in dance classes. I've always been in acting classes. You know, a lot of people in Los Angeles find their one person, and that's their person, and I think that's amazing. Like, if you find your person, I'm so jealous of you. But I haven't, I don't think I've found my person. So I'm hopping around just seeing where I fit. And what's interesting is you can learn something from everyone, even the teachers that you don't want to stay with.
I agree completely. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I mean, I'm a very loyal person. Loyalty is very high on my list of things that I admire and believe in. Still, that being said, because I believe you can learn something from everybody, I kind of like the idea of bouncing a little bit between different teachers. Because otherwise, if you're only getting one take on how to approach a character or how to do something, you've got to be missing some stuff.
Well, right? And also, what if you've learned Meisner your entire life and Stanislavski is what works for you? You know, I had been going to one teacher for a really long time, and I was a fine actor. But then I went to another teacher who presented something to me in a completely different way, and something clicked for me. And from there on, it was so much easier. And I think you just, it's not about, oh, this is the advice that someone has given me, this is what I have to do. It's about finding what resonates with you and what is true for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can't know when and where that's going to happen and who it's going to happen through.
Exactly. It surprises you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everything in life. I love that. That's good. So how did you find an agent manager? You come to town.
Well, actually,
you're 18.
So it sort of gets a little bit mushy in the middle there because the community theater where I was doing theater when I was growing up, when I was about 15, my director told me, oh, well, they're having auditions for a commercial here. Would you want to audition? And I was like, yeah. So I just went. Had never been to a commercial audition, didn't have an agent, and I booked it. And
to your surprise?
To my utter shock. And after I filmed the commercial, it was like a noodle commercial. Please don't look it up. You can find it online. It's so ridiculous.
I have to look it up now.
But after that, through the producer who produced the commercial, I got an agent actually in Sacramento, which was really close to my hometown. And she started submitting me for things in San Francisco. So I kind of got the taste of auditioning and stuff through that. My mom would have to drive me into the city 2 hours, and we would do that. And then from there, once I decided not to go to college, and I decided to move to Los Angeles, I actually went on the SAG website and sent my headshot resume demo reel cover letter to about 100 different agents. I'm not kidding.
Good for you, though.
Yeah, I heard back from 3.
That's about right.
And I signed with one.
Yeah.
So, and that was just commercial. I didn't get theatrical representation actually until after I got my manager, mm-hmm. who I submitted to managers just on a whim, being like, maybe I'll get one. And I'm still with my manager who I initially got, Darren Simons. She's amazing. Mm. I talk to her every day. Aww. And she got me my theatrical representation.
That's a good story because it really it shows how it often works. It's not a straight path.
Oh, absolutely not a straight path. I switched commercial agents so many times. Again, one of those things. If it's not resonating with you, don't stay with it.
Yeah, and that's normal. And people get really, you know, weird and freaked out about like, oh gosh, I have to change. It's like, you know what? It happens.
It totally does. Yeah. It's just a normal part of the industry.
And it's business.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, if someone's not working for you, you should absolutely move to someone who is going to work for you.
Yeah.
Because you're paying them. It's not, you're not working for your agent. Your agent is your employee.
And that's the funny thing, because it's so hard to get a good agent. There's that feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, but the power is actually where you are as an actor, because they're working for you.
Exactly. And if you're lucky, your agent won't be your employee. They will be your friend.
Exactly.
And they will be your advocate, and will just be on your team.
A true partner.
A partner. That's mm-hmm. exactly the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm.
I think of it as a partner.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. And if you're really lucky, then they end up feeling like family.
Yeah.
So I see from your IMDb Pro page that you have 2 different agencies representing you currently.
I do.
You've got Clear Talent for theatrical, and you've got Coast to Coast for commercial. And a lot of actors don't understand that that's an option, that you can have not only two, I mean, people who are familiar with the bigger markets like New York and LA, they know that you are going to probably have a different, you know, commercial agent from your theatrical agent, but not always that they might be in different agencies.
Exactly, yeah. Wow. Well, actually, I had a commercial agent, and then I met with Sadell over at Coast to Coast for social media representation, and by the end of the meeting, I felt very comfortable with her, comfortable enough to say, hey, I'm not happy with my commercial representation right now. Maybe you could submit me to your commercial department. And she said, absolutely. We would love to do that. And so it happened very smoothly. And as far as Clear Talent goes, I was with Osbrink. I was with Dana and Brandy opened a young adult division. It only lasted a few months, though, because mm-hmm. they realized they wanted to go back to casting, which I hope they're very happy back there. I'm so sad because they were really good agents, but they found me Clear Talent, and I could not be happier with Scott and Brianna. They're wonderful, and they totally get what I want to be doing, and they give me great auditions.
So it's perfect. So you've got exactly what you need with a certain type of agent at one agency and exactly what you need with a different kind of agent at
exactly,
a different agency.
Yeah.
And it's all okay.
It's all okay. Yes. It's actually perfect.
That's good. That's good. So yeah, lots of different ways to do this.
Yeah.
Auditioning advice.
Auditioning
advice.
You've
been here for, 4 years now?
Five.
5 years now? My sense of time is so hashed. That's crazy. It has been 5.
I know.
So you've put in your time doing some auditions. Any advice for people?
Oh, gosh. Have your headshot resumes printed ahead of time. Leave early.
Ahead of time.
If you get there early, I like to get there early just to... Yesterday I had an audition. I got there 30 minutes early just because I get so paranoid about parking. Mm-hmm. And it was in a really nice neighborhood. It was a beautiful day, so I just went for a nice walk for 30 minutes before I had to go to my audition. And I was so calm when I walked in there, and I did great. so logistically, those. But beyond that, read the entire script if you can get your hands on it. And if you can't, read every word on the page that you're given. Even the ones that, are not in the scene you're supposed to do, because there may be hints and clues. And you can find so many hints and clues if you just read without judging. Just looking. Just, for clues, you know? So try to do that and find out clues about the character. And I think I've found that that's even better for me than just reading to memorize. If I just read to find clues, then the memorization just comes so naturally.
Because it all makes sense.
Because it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The words feel real because I've read them so much. Yeah.
Yeah. So what has surprised you about this whole adventure so far?
Liv and Maddie. That caught me off guard. My first year here was really difficult. I'm not going to lie. I moved from a place where I was living on 12 acres with goats and chickens and climbing trees. And Los Angeles in general is not a place with tons of space or nature. So something that was instrumental for me as far as that goes is finding nature and places I can just sort of feel at ease under the trees and stuff. But something that really surprised me was Liv and Maddie. When I booked that, I didn't think it would become for me what it has become, which is my family. I mean, thank you, Suzanne, for casting all of my friends. My current boyfriend.
I was going to say, we can talk
Lucas.
About that. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, that really, and I mean, beyond the cast, the crew, I learned so much. Adon taught me how to operate a camera. Kevin taught me about camera angles. I learned so much about wardrobe from Elizabeth. I learned to write from the writers, which is one of my new passions. And I'm so grateful for that gift. Just all of Liv and Maddie and getting to work with Dove and Emmy and Joey and Tenzing and Kalee so closely was irreplaceable.
Yeah, that whole show has been the most beautiful surprise and gift, I think, for everybody
right?
involved in it.
Yeah. Oh. I know.
So, having wrapped a 4-year show just now and having had that bring you a lot of success in a lot of ways. What do you think is important at this point for success, and what's not important?
Okay.
For success.
I'm going to start with what's not important, and I'm going to start with a vague other people, and expand upon that.
Love it.
Other people's opinions, not important. Not your business.
Love that.
They're not important for your success. If you spend your time dwelling on what other people think of you, or even comparing yourself to other people, what are you doing? Just, you're in competition with yourself. You know, what's the best I can be? Not how can I be better than others. What's the best I can be?
Mm-hmm.
And You know, also, on that, you have to realize when people have negative opinions of you, that's a reflection of them. I actually learned that in a really positive way a couple months ago. I went to a restaurant and the waitress was this beautiful ray of sunshine. And she came over to our table and I was like, I'm sorry, I have to say, you are so beautiful. And she goes, it's a mirror. And I was so struck by that.
Wow.
Isn't that so amazing?
Yes.
I know. I was like, girl, you're even more beautiful than I thought. Like, that's amazing. But it's true.
I love that.
The positive things that you see in other people, that's a mirror. The negative things that people see in you, that's a mirror. Like, you just have to realize life is a mirror. And important for success, self-love and self-care. I'm sick right now because I was neglecting my self-care. I let myself get too busy. But finding things that reconnect you are always really good. Like I said, like me being in nature, that's instrumental. Or meditation, journaling, even like blasting your music and having a dance party with yourself. Whatever it is that helps you find your center and helps you to really be with yourself and be honest with yourself is key to success, not just in your career, but in life in general.
I agree. And more and more these days, you know, when I ask this question to myself, to anybody around me, it's like, what's the difference? There is no difference, you know, between, you know, success in your career and success in your life in general. It's just all the same.
Yeah, it is all the same. I mean, if you're not successful and happy in your life, then you're probably not really that happy with your career either, you know?
Yeah.
Life is a series of choices.
Yeah, no, it is. And they get you where you are. Wherever you are,
exactly.
It's because of a series of choices that you've made all the way through.
Yep.
What are your methods of staying positive and focused on your dream when the challenges are there?
Oh, I mean, I've definitely meditate. I definitely spend time in nature. Some of the things that I do, I actually like to go on IMDb and see people who I admire and see how long it took them.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. So I'll go on and I'll be like, take Kate Blanchett, for example, one of my idols, one of the most amazing actresses to ever live. You look back to the very first things they did and their biography of like when they first started. And then you usually realize it's years before they find their first big success. They do a lot of little things before they get to the big things. So you have to give yourself time. You have to be willing to give yourself time to grow as a person and as an actor.
That is a wonderful piece of advice, because the truth is all these so-called overnight successes, they only seem like they're overnight because nobody's been paying attention to them until
exactly. I always think that. Yeah, there's no such thing as an overnight success.
Literally. No.
I don't know if you've read any Malcolm Gladwell.
I love Malcolm Gladwell.
I do too. Oh my gosh. So I learned in Outliers the 10,000 hour rule, which is basically once you've spent 10,000 hours doing one thing, you're like a professional at that and you know everything about it. And you got to work to get to that 10,000 hour mark. And I think whenever I do feel discouraged, I work on my craft and I'm like, all right, gonna reach 10,000 hours. You know, got to become a pro at this. And I think just work towards your craft every day. Read a play, read a script, watch a movie you haven't seen, or do some sort of research that can motivate you.
I love that. That's great advice. So you landed in Hollywood when you were just 18.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did it go? What was it like?
Well, okay, so I was supposed to go to Oklahoma City University.
Why Oklahoma City University?
Because that's where Kristen Chenoweth went.
That's so great.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, another one of my idols. But I went to Oklahoma City University and toured the school, and I was really excited to go there, but something happened in my senior year with, you know, trying to quit high school and stuff that I got so tired of being in a school situation, and that was the last thing I wanted to put myself back into. So I deferred for a year, and I didn't really know what I was going to do. But I was taking acting classes from a place called Studio 24 in Northern California. They did on-camera classes. And my teacher, Cody Dorkin, sat me down in his office and I was like, I'm so lost. I don't know what to do. And he was like, why don't you move to LA? You should just do it. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I went home and I was like, Mom, I'm probably going to move to LA. And she was like, okay. Literally, that had never been my plan. My plan was get my musical theater degree, move to New York.
Right.
Do Broadway.
Completely different.
Completely different. It just took one person making the suggestion and it resonated more than college ever did. Back to that. Listen to what resonates to you. And so, obviously, I couldn't move because I was still 17. So, I just got a job at Banana Republic, saved money, moved down with, like, everything that fit in the back of my car.
That's so cute. That's so classic.
Yeah. It was hard to leave my family and all of my friends and all of my mentors, but now I have so many people here that it feels like home now.
That's beautiful. And it took, you were here a year before yeah. you got what became a 4-year gig with Liv and Maddie.
Yeah, actually what's crazy is it was like a year and I don't want to say I was reaching the point where I thought I was going to quit. I was just reaching a point where I was so discouraged. I was working at a restaurant and not to say that's a bad job, but it's not the job I wanted to be doing. And it's tiring to work in a restaurant. I have so much respect for waiters and waitresses and it's exhausting. Tiring work and people can be so rude to you. And I just like sat down one day and I was like, okay, like, is this really what you want to be doing? And at the end of my conversation with myself, I said, yes, this is what I really want to be doing. The next week, I booked a commercial. Mm. A month after that, I booked Liv and Maddie.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's interesting.
I basically was like, universe, give me a sign that I'm supposed to be here. Give me a sign I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Danielle Hoover, who's one of the writers on Liv and Maddie, had a similar moment.
Oh, yeah. I listened to your podcast with her.
Yeah. I find that stuff really interesting. Mm-hmm. So you kind of surrendered to it.
I did. And I think that's really important. I mean, like Danielle said in her interview with you, like, the auditions I go to where I just, like, don't care. Not that I don't care, but I just decide, all right, I'm just going to do what I can do, are the ones I always end up doing best in. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so interesting. It's yeah. a good thing to notice.
My aunt has this saying that I like to think of when I'm in situations where I'm questioning things. The universe is unfolding exactly as it should, no more and no less.
Oh, I like that.
Doesn't that just make you feel so at peace?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to keep that.
Yeah, you should. Please do. Aunt Cece.
I'm one of those people who writes things down and posts them on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That'll be on my wall next week.
Seeing is manifestation, right?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. So you did it. You hung in there and you things came together. But the year is not, like, an easy year. We were here for a full year, like, to the week.
It's exhausting,
before
right?
Dove got her first gig. And
was that Shameless?
It was Shameless. Yeah. and everybody was like, oh, my gosh, that was so fast. That's amazing. It was only a year.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, like, are you kidding? It was the longest year ever.
I know. That's how I felt.
Yeah. It's like, really, a year? But apparently... a year is really good. And so people who come here for a couple of months and they get antsy, like, gosh, nothing's happening. It's like, you know what? You have to be prepared for a longer haul than that.
Yeah, that's why I get really confused when people say I'm going to give it a year. I'm like, okay, I don't want to be rude, but you should just dedicate your life to this. If not, what are you doing?
Why even do
it? What are you going to do after a year? Like, oh, I didn't book anything. I'm going to go to do this now. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say that's insulting to people who are making this their life's work, no matter what, unconditionally, but it sort of does feel like an insult to people who are willing to put in their whole life's work to this.
Like, if I can't make it in a year, I'm going to bail.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. If I had bailed at, I never would have met you. I never would have met any of the people from Liv and Maddie and... those are my people. You guys are my people.
Well, I mean, yeah, everybody involved in that show, like, their lives were really changed by it. You know, the relationships
absolutely
are lifelong at this point. Yeah, but the year thing, it's like, the way I look back on all of that now and just knowing all the people I know in the industry and knowing their stories, it seems to me like it takes at least about a year to just kind of like get in the groove, get a basic set of relationships, like get some casting directors who know who you are, mm-hmm. you know, maybe get the right representation, maybe, you know, all of those pieces, they don't fall into place overnight.
No, of course
not. And it needs to sort of be cumulative before it can get some momentum and some synergy going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 So you got to hang in there. You got to persevere.
Yep. Got to persist.
Challenges. What have some challenges been for you?
Challenges? Getting nervous at auditions. It's something that I wish I didn't do, and I'm getting better with it, I'm realizing. But, I mean, again, meditation is a really good thing, but also just know your stuff. I know a lot of times it says you don't have to be memorized to go into auditions, and you should hold your script. But I always feel way more comfortable and confident if I do have the pages memorized, if I do know what's going to come out of my mouth, even if I don't look at it. It just, it feels so much better to be memorized. Memorization is a challenge. I used to not really be very good at memorization. So if you can do something to practice memorization, you're good.
Would you say that practicing memorization helps you get better at it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a different script on Liv and Maddie every day. They didn't always change immensely, but they always changed a little bit. And I wouldn't say I memorized every script for every run-through we did, but by the end, I could. Yeah. Like, just working with a script every day of your life will help you so much. Even if you're like, oh, I'm going to memorize one of Shakespeare's sonnets each day just to work on memorization. Or I'm going to memorize like one of my favorite scenes from one of my favorite movies every day. Like, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, it would be super cool. It would be really good for your brain. But I really do feel like the more you work at it, the better you get at it. And the faster you get at it.
Yeah. And oh, so Lucas is working on Days of Our Lives, a soap opera right now. And he has about... on average, I would say 8 scenes a day. They film an episode a day. And the other day he had, I'm not kidding you, 16 scenes. And I help him with his memorization. And even though he's only been working there since, I think, September or October, oh my gosh, he had a 2-page monologue the other day. And I was like helping him through it. He memorized it so fast, Bonnie. I was like, this is amazing. And I'm getting better at memorization, just helping him memorize. When I'm running the scenes with him, I just, like, read it once, don't have to look at the paper again. It's really cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I've heard people say that soap operas are, like, boot camp for actors.
Oh, yeah. Well, he gets one take sometimes, with no rehearsal sometimes. Yeah. That monologue. He got there, and they were like, hey, do you want to do a rehearsal? And he was like, I don't think I need to do a rehearsal. He did it in one take. A 2-page monologue.
And then they just ran with it.
And they were like, that was awesome. Cool.
We're good. Moving on.
Moving on. Yeah. That's terrifying.
It's great practice, though. It's great training. It is. It's amazing training. Wow. I'm going to have to get Lucas on here.
You should. You should. I'm sure he would love to.
Actually, can I just say this really quick? I think it's beyond cute. I mean, you guys obviously met on the set of Liv and Maddie, but in the script, you know, Lucas's character and Maddie were together, and of course you're Maddie too, and you guys end up together. How cute is that?
He's so sweet.
He's a good guy.
It is pretty adorable how we met.
Super adorable. So rejection and haters.
Yeah.
I always ask this question because the truth is any human being who's alive and on social media has to deal with this at a certain level.
Yeah.
But people who are in the public eye have to deal with it at a greater level just because the numbers are there. How do you deal with it? What's your method?
I mean, it depends on the range of the comment, really. If it's really bad, I will delete it and block that person and not look back.
Yeah.
If it's just like a little mean thing, like you're ugly or whatever, I just kind of laugh it off and then I leave it there and I'm like, you can just put that there, but that's not going to affect me. Mm-hmm. But I find that most of the time I click on their pages and they're little kids who just are trying to get attention. And that's really sad that that's the way that they have to go, like anonymously through social media. I find, as far as social media goes, I find that the positives by far outweigh the negatives. Mm-hmm. Like today, so much love on social media for Liv and Maddie and the work that we all did together for 4 years. It feels amazing, and that makes it worth it for me. I can handle people saying mean things on the internet, but this makes it all worth it.
For the sure. love is real too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I think the love is probably more real than the hate because they don't actually know me.
I think the love is way more real than the hate. And I love that we got a chance to sort of just notice that right now, because the hate is typically, you know, going back to your earlier conversation, it's just a mirror. It's like, you know, yeah. something's going on where you are that you're projecting outwards.
Yeah. I mean, they could just be saying, I hate you because there was an episode of Liv and Maddie that your character did something that they didn't like.
Right.
Which is like, oh, well, Linda and Heather are mean to Liv, so I hate you.
So I hate you.
And you're just like, okay. All right. Your logic's weird because we're acting.
It's not really me, but...
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. And people forget that. They collapse the distinction between the actor and the character all the time. All the time. You know, people who play villains are not villains, typically.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, that even collapses sometimes if you're method.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a whole other
conversation.
So, Disney Channel. Let's talk about Disney Channel for a second. Yeah. It's its own special universe, and you've been in it for 4 years now.
It's amazing. You know, I mean, we had that dinner last week with everyone, with all of the network executives and the showrunners and the cast and stuff, and it was so nice. It's wonderful to be able to work with, like, network executives like Jackie, mm-hmm. who just... are on set and feel like they're part of the family. It didn't feel like there was, oh, this is producer run through day, it's going to be fun, and the network executive today, we're all nervous. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, well, just more families going to be here today watching this one. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, they're such nice people. They love our show. Like, they love us.
Yeah, what else could you ask
for? What else could you ask for? I mean, we got 4 seasons on a Disney show. Well, that's so rare.
And I think 3 of them we had live audiences for.
Oh, that was so fun. Oh my gosh. That sort of interaction with the fans is amazing. Like, the energy of live audience nights, incomparable. I mean, you know.
Like the best of live theater.
Yeah,
right?
The best of live theater. And just the laughs those nights were always just huge. Oh, I loved that. And the autograph signings after were so fun. Getting to meet everyone and see their smiling faces and how happy they were to be meeting us and, like, to have the opportunity to see it live.
Yeah, so special. So, if you weren't an actor, Shelby, what do you think you might be doing?
I would have to do something with human rights, I think. I went to India in October, and I did volunteer work. I volunteered in Bir, which is a small Tibetan refugee village in northern India. I worked at a daycare with little, like, 3 to 4-year-olds. Oh my gosh, it was amazing for a month of my life and life-changing. Life-changing for sure. I miss those kids. I love them so incredibly much. But something like that, something humanitarian, whether it's the Peace Corps or whether it's, I don't know, something even in America, being able to do something for people. It would have to be something to help people, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a charity or something.
Yeah, that would be great.
I think that's even something I could probably pair with acting.
I was going to say, I don't know that you have to make the choice.
Oh, I don't think I do. Yeah. Well,
the incredible thing about being an actor is that sometimes that can leverage what you do, too.
Yeah, oh, you know, talk about connecting the dots and things that happen for a reason. After I tried quitting high school and my assistant principal did not let me, again, thank you, sort of my refuge was creating this trip that I was going to take on my own to go do volunteer work abroad. And I wanted to do 6 months in India, volunteering in the slums and teaching English and stuff. But I did not have money for that. I was 17 years old.
Right, yeah.
But what was amazing is I saved money from Liv and Maddie, and I didn't get to go for 6 months because I would have missed on incredible audition opportunities, but I got to go for a month, and I had the finances to do that, and I got such closure on everything that happened to me in high school while I was in India, and it was really interesting because it had been 4 years.
That is interesting. You know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was really cool.
So you're going to go back?
Oh my gosh, yes. I miss it. I miss those kids.
I love India too. Oh,
I know.
It's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
So many conversations to have. So any advice for young people who want this life?
Learn everything. whatever you do, don't stifle your curiosity. Read every script. Watch every movie. Learn about cinematography. Learn about writing. Learn about makeup. Learn about hair. About wardrobe. Learn about every aspect of the industry because it can only help you. Learn about being an agent and learn about being a manager. I mean, listen to this podcast because I even listen to this podcast and learn things when I listen to it. I'm not kidding you. I totally do. And there's no shortage of inspiration if you open your eyes to it.
That's beautiful. Anything else you'd like to share, Shelby?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Watch the series finale of Liv and Maddie.
And then watch, I think it's going to be all on Netflix. I think season 4 is going up on Netflix.
Ooh, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm just going to be eating popcorn, I know, watching, right? That crying.
binge watching 4 seasons of Liv and Maddie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, as long as it's up there, we can keep watching it.
We totally can.
So how can people find you, Shelby?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shelby Wolfert.
And how do you spell that?
Shelbywulfert.
Okay.
And at Facebook, at shelby.wolfert.actress.
I love it. Shelby, thank you for coming and talking
to us
today.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, please subscribe. It's free. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the subscribe button. You'll get weekly podcasts and blog posts delivered right to your inbox that will educate and inspire you. And if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. Or for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to hollywoodparentsguide.com and click on the consultation page. For the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.